Ladies and gentlemen, a special broadcast by two of American's best-known and best-loved citizens, Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, featuring Marlon Hurt as Beulah, Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble, and music by Billy Mills Orchestra. The Squire of 79 Wistful Vista seems a little perturbed. Usually, after an afternoon at the Elks Club, he's full of good cheer and bad jokes. But now, even his wife, who is familiar with every one of his 8,716 moods, is puzzled. As we meet, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Your cigar's gone out, dearie.
Yeah, I know.
Well, then stop puffing on it. You make me nervous.
Oh, didn't realize I was puffing on it. Where's the evening paper?
Under your left arm, sweetheart.
Huh?
That's the one on the side toward the piano, you know.
Oh. Any news in it?
Plenty. Go ahead and read it.
Can't. I don't know where my glasses are.
They're on your forehead. And your forehead is that patch of bare skin between your eyebrows and your pompadour.
Oh. Yeah, thanks. Anything happen around here today?
Oh, no. Everything was normal. I broke a fingernail putting the clothes pole back in your closet that you left on the floor when you decided not to put it up in our bedroom doorway to chin yourself on every morning. Now, let me see. What else happened? Oh, yes. I got your bowling shoes back from Mr. Cherry, the cobbler. And, he said to tell you they wouldn't take another retread.
Guess not.
I think that's about all. Oh, no. No, I stopped in at the Bonton to try on some mink coats. They're having a clearance sale. Only $2,100.
Buy one?
Six of them. I thought they'd be nice for Christmas presents.
It's a good idea. Well, I guess I... You what?
I didn't think you were paying much attention, dearie. What's the matter with you today, anyway?
Oh, I don't know. Nothing much, I guess. What's for dinner? I hope it isn't anything I like, because I'm not very hungry.
Well, I haven't the slightest idea, McGee. I left it entirely up to Beulah. I'll ask her what she's fixing. Oh, Beulah! Beulah! Somebody bawl for Beulah?
Yeah, what's for dinner, Beulah? Not that I care very much.
Well, he's a little out of character, isn't he, Beulah? He's usually at the dining room door from 4:30 on, panting through the keyhole.
You ain't feel so good today, Mr. McGee?
Huh? Oh, yeah, I feel all right.
Nonsense. You're as listless as an absent-minded laundryman.
I don't know if you're going to like what I fixed for supper or not. Scalloped potatoes and meat weights.
You mean meatloaf?
Well, it's called that, sir, but when you put the time in on it that I do, loaf ain't hardly the proper term.
Oh, you like meatloaf, dearie. At least the last time we had it, you gave an outstanding performance in platter cleaning.
Yeah, meatloaf is okay.
You're controlling your excitement very nicely. What's for dessert, Beulah?
Chocolate pudding with whipped cream.
Whipped cream? I didn't know we could get whipping cream.
We can.
Oh, no, sir. I take the top cream off of 3 bottles of milk and I whipped it in the electric mixer. It ain't awful rich, but if you'll excuse me for mentioning it, sir, you ain't as young and as hip as a family.
Well, I think meatloaf and scallop potatoes and chocolate pudding will be very nice, Beulah.
Thank you, ma'am. I also make a salad with slices of pineapple and skyscraper cheese.
Pineapple and what?
Skyscraper cheese. Oh, that's cottage cheese pie way up high.
Well, thanks very much, Beulah. I think Mr. McGee will be able to conquer his tired feeling and do it justice.
I hope so, ma'am. Sure need to see a man off his feed. Man is an animal which got to be fed big and frequent.
Yeah, I'll be okay, Beulah. I'm just not hungry. I got less appetite than a tired waitress with a pivot tooth and a spare rib joint.
Pivot tooth and a spare. Love that man.
All right, McGee. Tell Mother.
Huh? What do you mean?
I mean, I want to know what's bothering you. Ever since you got home, you've been as full of gloom as the Japanese real estate man.
Oh, I'm okay. Forget it. Nothing the matter with me.
Well, now something is the matter with something. We never have any secrets from each other, except things like why you use every dish in the kitchen to make an egg sandwich. Come on, let yourself go.
Oh, really, Molly, I'm okay.
Please, dearie, I know when you're upset. I know all the signs. You didn't slam the front door when you came in. You hung your coat and hat up very neatly. You didn't get the rug hip-deep in tobacco filling your pipe. And you kissed me twice. Who do you think you're fooling? What's wrong?
Well, I'm worried.
About what?
Charlie Freitag.
Charlie Freitag? Isn't he the man who owns all the theaters?
Yeah.
The one that's supposed to be worth about $2 million in warm cash?
Yeah.
Well, he can afford to do his own worrying. Cheer up and let's play a couple of games of rummy. I owe you 13 cents and I'd like to reduce it.
Look, Molly, Charlie's a very good friend of mine. I play billiards with him almost every day at the Elks, and he usually skins the britches off me. But lately I've been taking every game.
Well, that's a great thing to worry about. See if you can win the Bijou Theater away from him. You know, it's one of my great ambitions to walk into a theater free.
No, Molly, listen. Charlie's got something on his mind. He's upset and absent-minded. Scared to death about something. I think I know what it is.
What?
Cancer.
Oh, McGee, I'm sorry I joked about it. That's horrible. Is it definite?
No, I got a sneaking suspicion he's scared to go to the doctor about it. Hoping it'll heal up by itself.
That's a very silly attitude. Has he talked to you about it?
No, I just gathered that that was the case from little things he'd said now and then. It's none of my business, really. But the poor guy is just going to pieces from worry. Gee whiz, I think...
Come in. Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, my dear. Hello, little neck.
Hi, Errol Smith. If you come to ask me to go bowling tonight, skip it. I got enough trouble without watching you trying to kill the pin boys with your muscle-bound enthusiasm.
Well, having been brought up in an alley, you have the advantage of me in bowling. And what trouble have you got that looms so large in your tiny little head?
Tell him, McGee.
Oh, it's really none of my business, Molly. I should have kept my big fat mouth shut in the first place.
Well, now that you have opened it, you might as well go the whole hog, sonny. After all, two heads are better than one, you know.
Yeah, particularly on two different people. Tell him, dearie.
Well, okay, but this is strictly confidential, Doc.
Look, I've been father confessor to more people than I could shake a thermometer at. I'm not going around babbling secrets at this late date. Give.
It's about Mr. Freitag, Doctor.
Charlie? What's he been up to?
He's as jumpy as a barefoot on a hot pavement. He hasn't told me outright, but I got a suspicion that he thinks he's got cancer.
He thinks he has. Doesn't he know?
Well, he's afraid to see a doctor, it seems. Thinks it's a disgrace or something.
It's a disgrace to think it's a disgrace. Cancer's no more disgraceful than fallen arches. Babies get it, rats get it, horses get it, even trees and roses get it. Anything that lives can get it.
Oh, my gosh, if he'd come right out and told me, Doc, I'd have told him to scram down to your office and see you, but gee whiz.
I know. I'm not blaming you, McGee. But Charlie ought to have more sense. 160,000 people die of cancer every year in this country alone. And at least 40% of them could be cured.
Is that true, Doctor?
It's an understatement of anything, my dear. Mention cancer to most people and they cringe and change the subject. That's an ostrich attitude. Cancer isn't a thing that'll go away if you shut your eyes. You've got to bring it out into the light and do something about it.
Can't you get Charlie down to your office and beat him over the head or something?
Well, Charlie's due for his semi-annual checkup in July. I'll call him in tomorrow by mistake. I don't mind being slightly unethical in a good cause.
Is it, can it be cured, Doctor?
Oh, get that tremble out of your voice when you ask me that, Molly. Cancer is a brutal, awful thing, of course, but it's just a disease like smallpox and tuberculosis. Get it in time and it can be cured.
Look, Doc, what is cancer anyway? A germ disease?
No, it's not a germ disease and it's not contagious. Cancer is one of the oldest known diseases, and it's been the subject of more silly and stupid misconceptions than anything I know of.
You know, I knew somebody once who claimed that pokeweed would cure it.
Oh, sure. That's one of the more sensible suggestions. Great things have also been claimed for powdered frogs, turpentine, iron water from a blacksmith's tub, pulverized centipedes, goosegrass juice, and the tender touch of a seventh son of a seventh son. But cancer is like any other murderer. The only way to cure it is to kill it. You sure you don't want to go bowling, McGee?
No, I don't think so, Doc. Now, look.
Yeah?
Look, Charlie Freitag was still at the Elks when I left. Why don't you shanghai him into your office and get him to spill the beans? Tonight.
Good idea. It's a good idea. I'll do it, my boy. If he thinks he has cancer, every hour is important. When those little cells go haywire, they go haywire fast. I'll go down to the Elks right now.
And, Doctor, would it be unethical to let us know if everything is all right?
Well, I doubt if it'll be necessary, my dear. Little blunderbuss here will know what the score is the next time he sees Charlie. Even if he has got it, we can probably cure it at this stage. Where'd you put my hat?
I'll get it for you, Doc.
Now, keep your seat, Weary Bottom. I'll get it myself. I know my way around here.
No, 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 Doctor, not there.
No, no, hey, that's the whole crowd. No!
That closet one of these days. On his back and he'd struggle like everything. Then had a little goat. No matter how he'd strive, he never could smell like Chanel number 5.
Hi, Molly, old kid, old kid, old kid, old girl, old son.
Hello, dearie. Home already?
Yep. Home is the pigeon, home to his nest. Crop full of peanuts and egg on his vest. Watch me toss my hat on the hook with one shot.
Wonderful. I never liked that lamp there anyhow.
Me either. That green shade always made me look like I'd spent a day on a roller coaster.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see you feeling so happy, McGee.
I feel like a million. And hey, you know what? Remember what I was telling you about Charlie Freitag the other day?
You mean about his being so worried?
Yeah. Well, he must have seen Doc, and Doc must have done his stuff. Charlie's a new man.
Oh, isn't that fine?
Yep. We played 7 games of billiards, and he beat me 6 times. I lost $3. Boy, ain't that marvelous? Well, what's for dinner, kid? I could eat the blades out of a lawnmower. Let's go see what fuel is cooking for
dinner. Ladies and gentlemen, ever since radio was just a funny noise from Pittsburgh, Fibber McGee and Molly have been offering the healing gift of laughter to these United States, and by means of recordings to our fighting forces overseas. Now they ask your support for a fighting force to do battle with a murderer here at home. A murderer with whom, by comparison, Hitler is a bungling amateur. That killer is cancer. 1 out of 8 persons listening to this broadcast will die of cancer, unless something is done about it. It will kill 17 million of us who are living today. Now you have it in your power to help stamp out this vicious disease. The American Cancer Society's drive for funds is on now, and $5 million a year is needed.
Help save yourself and those you love by giving generously to this fund. Put your contribution in an envelope and simply address it to Cancer. C-A-N-C-E-R, cancer, care of your local post office. And that's all. You got that? Send your money to cancer, care of your post office.
The more money you give, the fewer lives cancer will take.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox saying thank you and good night.